Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Oh, good afternoon. Is that a bead of sweat I see on the Wild Panthers' head? Is he starting to get nervous about his Penny Panthers? As things, the wheels are falling off, MG.
Well, you might say the training wheels are falling off the dragster. But obviously, when you lose your two halfbacks and who are origin halves, it's a concern, most definitely. But they did play the first four games of the season without Nathan, and they won all them. So, it's a big issue. I know that. And I know that we'll be discussing it at length throughout the show, but I must confess that when it first happened, and this is for all kids at home, don't tweet when you drink, because it's... I said, no way, man, is that a send-off? F me. Come on, man. I said something. And then I looked at it again, but the next morning I went, oh, delete. I had 3,000 comments. I didn't read one because I imagined what they were all aimed at.
Yeah, there's the title of today's podcast. Don't tweet and drink.
No, ever, ever, ever.
We will get into the Panthers situation. We've also got to talk about, it looks like Cam Serrato is going to be announced this week as the Bulldogs coach. Want to get your take on that, MG. But as we start every episode of MG's Rugby League Rundown, let's do this.
Let's go!
MG,
that is massive.
Plays of the week.
Yeah, and we kick it off this week with obviously a fantastic game Saturday night. It lived up to the billing of Game of the Round. It was the Sharkies and South Sydney Rabbitohs. Ebbed and flowed and... We saw Golden Point. We saw attempts at field goal. We saw Tom Burgess with a head eye and got sent off. We saw basically a really good game. Nico Hines, for those that didn't know or aren't aware, he kicked the winning field goal. But Latrell had three attempts in that extra time period. This is the third one that just almost won the game for his team.
This for the win, Latrell Mitchell, he gets it off and he sprays it again.
For the third time. So Latrell will be at training today, I would imagine, kicking field goals left, right and centre from probably 60 metres out, knowing the boot he's got on him. But look, big game because in the context
of things...
We might
be looking back on, exactly right, MG, we might look back on that miss once the final eight is set with where who has to play who, and that might be pivotal.
Especially because the Sharkies now, they go on their own in the third spot. That was, and you can see, it's the first time I've seen Fitzgibbon animated this year as a coach, and he was, pounding the desk and all, for good luck to him because that was a fantastic win from his team, and it looked like South were going to win in Golden Point, but that was a great win for him, and South City now sit in seventh position, so it was a loss that they didn't want to have. Happened over on the weekend, and my second thing that caught my eye. The Titans play the Raiders on Saturday, and Joe Tarpany ran the ball up, went to offload, and Aaron Booth came in with a cannonball. So what ensued after? We'll just listen to the audio. Then we'll have a chat about it.
It's on in back play.
Come back. There's a punch on in back play. Let's have a look at that.
Looks like Aaron Booth against Big Tarpany. It's a heavyweight against a featherweight.
It's Booth comes in under the legs, and Tarpany took offence to that. When two guys are getting held like that, and one guy goes in low woodsy, it's never a good look.
No, it's not. As Gerds rightly said, I, for the life of me, don't know why he wasn't sin bin at least. It's the most dangerous tackle in the game, along with the hit drop, which we'll be talking about as well today.
Yes.
on the podcast. But the cannonball, my goodness. Tarpany had every right to do what he did. He got sin binned out of it. Aaron Booth copped a $1,500 fine. He should have been sent off or sin binned, and he should be facing probably the judiciary tonight along with Carrigan, because I think these two tackles in our game are just such a blight. They are such a blight. The cannonball tackles, you're basically attacking a helpless player. There's no bravery in it. The hip drop is something that is probably less malice in it. It's more of a technique issue that gone wrong. But still, it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous, that third man in coming in from behind, and it's grabbing the legs and kind of pushing their legs forward so they drop really quick. But this time, we saw someone break their leg. And a lot of people are saying, you've got to just you know, penalise merits on merits of different incidents. Well, I'm afraid that when something goes wrong and you accidentally break someone's leg by doing it, you've got to face the whole wrath of the powers that be. And I'm
100%.
If I'm a Broncos fan, I'm thinking I'm out. Kerrigan's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
We'll get back to Paddy Carrigan in a moment. Let's finish off your plays of the week, because I do want to get your prediction for Paddy Carrigan.
Well, the new entertainers in the competition, they've won 4 of their last 6 games. Mick Potter, in Mick Potter we trust. he has been a breath of fresh air for these Bulldogs. And one action on the weekend with the Fox. What can he do? He put a kick across to young Carraz, who scored a hat trick, and gee, it was good to watch.
Burton to give it real elevation. Addo Carr there in plenty of time against Young. Knocked it back for Jackson. Can he get it away? He can for the Fox. On kicking duty, the Fox. Oh, he's put on a dime from winger to winger. He can do it all, the Fox. He's picked up Carraz for one of the tries of the year.
Special.
That's special. Special. They've been great to watch. They've been really good to watch, the Doggies.
Do you think... and I know this is a hypothetical, but do you think they were capable of doing this if Trent Barrett was still in charge at this point of the season? Was it a time thing or was it a style?
No, a style. Okay. It was a style thing. They were way too complicated under Baz. Baz had the attacking duty at Penrith, and he had a lot different type of cattle to work with. Mm. He had to simplify it if he was going to get results at Bulldogs, and that's exactly what Mick Potter's done. Mick Potter's come in and just, as we've spoken about last couple of weeks on this podcast, that Mick Potter has simplified everything. He's made the forwards run harder, he's made the backs run faster, and he's made the whole team tackle harder, and it's pretty easy science when you get your A, Bs and Cs done.
Trent Barrett had a higher footy IQ to work with when he was at the Panthers, and that's not a slight against the Dogs, it's just the realities of the list. So Mick Potter's obviously brought in a more simplistic plan, as you said. Righto, let's talk about, before we get to your Panthers, because you say the trainer wheels have fallen off the dragsters. I think the dragsters caught fire. But hey, what's the Dennis Carnahan song? That's in Queensland. Well, guess what? The NRL Grand Final could be coming to Queensland. Oh, yeah. I love this. This is it. As someone who now resides in the Sunshine State, the fact that it's government, you know, divides and factions that could deliver the grand final back up to Queensland once more, I'm excited.
But I wouldn't stand in the way of it. I just think it's got to go to the state that deserves it most. And if our warring factions can't get together and you know, make their own bed, well, Queensland deserve to get it then. If, like, really, it's a no-brainer. I mean, what are the intricacies? Get our listeners up to speed.
Right. The quick background for those not aware is that basically the New South Wales government made an agreement with the NRL to upgrade suburban stadiums. And this is all off the back of the planned revamp of Stadium Australia, which then was kiboshed, which meant there was all this money and there was an agreement struck that Brookvale, Leichhardt, Penrith and Shark Park would all be upgraded. And then we'd have, you know, 4 more versions of CommBank Stadium. You know, great suburban grounds, boutique-sized suburban grounds, perfect design built for rugby league. As it stands, it seems that that's in question. And this is where Peter Volandis, the St. Peter, the godfather of rugby league, is playing hardball. And he has said that he's described it as being in delicate negotiations with the New South Wales government and that all options will be on the table if the negotiations fail. Now, if Dominic Perrottet and his crew get together and sort this out, the game will be played in New South Wales. If they don't, Suncorp Stadium, we know it is the greatest rugby league venue in the country. Another grand final there would be incredible, particularly in a season where you've got 2 Queensland teams and the Cowboys or the Broncos who could run deep.
Yeah, well, and this is where it's out of our realms as far as the political jargon goes on, because you don't know how much of this is a bit of an idle threat from Mr. Rugby League about it. You know, you don't know how much of it is fair income, how much of it is just a bit of a kick up the bum for our government down here. But anyway, you can't lose. I mean, just because there's only 50,000 people who can cram into Suncorp. The atmosphere is palpable. You know, it's a fantastic place to watch rugby league, and I'm sure it doesn't matter about the TV viewing where the game's played. That's the main thing they're worried about. You know, if it's a political thing, a political stunt that they're looking for, well, Valenis will be the one who will make sure that it's done in the right place. And you can bet the person who gets the state that gets the grand final will be worthy recipients of it.
Oh, and you can guarantee if Anastasia Palaszczuk hasn't already, you know, smashing case of emergency NRL grand final pitch. I suggest it's being hand-delivered as we speak. I actually think that maybe State of Origin should be the way we decide whether the grand final's played. The winning state gets to host it. I mean, we see these pathetic little bets between the Premier, whoever's Premier at the time of the state, oh, you'll have to wear my flag in Parliament, or you'll have to put the lights on your bridge. No, you have to put... I'd like to see them, you know, go, all right, let's go. Winner gets to host the grand final.
Yeah, I haven't really had much time to think about that. I don't know whether
the premiers of the state have the right to do that.
I don't care because it's a game that I love going to the grand final. You know, when I was working on the grand final, I loved going to the atmosphere of the grand final. But it's still a fantastic day at home. For most people, it's still not a public holiday down here. That's the thing. Or is it the public holiday on the Monday, Charlie?
It is, mate. Producer Monday, we get that
okay,
Monday off.
Okay, so, yeah, let's have it anyway. I don't care where they have it.
You should care, MG, because, I mean, up until maybe 6 days ago, you would have said that the Panthers would be in it. All of a sudden, Jerome Luai, knee concern, indeterminate amount of time he's going to be on the sidelines, and Nathan Cleary now out for 5 matches. First off, Nathan Cleary, fair punishment?
I thought three to five. I thought, you know, with that carryover penalty that he had earlier in the year from the hit on Billy Walters, that's given him the five. Four weeks, I think, would have been apt. You know, the fact that he showed such he was contrite about it.
Yes.
He handled it beautifully. The coach handled it beautifully. He didn't say, you know, oh, I haven't seen it. No, he saw it.
Yep.
He said it didn't look good. And Nathan's looking for a stint on the sideline. So I think the way that Penrith... basically held themselves after the game was really good. You take Jerome Luai out of the team, and you could see already against Parramatta. Parramatta were up 12-4 when this happened. So it wasn't as if Penrith were, you know, in front and Nathan got sent off and then Parramatta come from behind. But Parramatta were in command. They were up for this game, like they are usually are every second week.
This should be the time where I brag about my bold prediction from last week, by the way.
Yes, go.
Well, I said that Parramatta would win the game.
You did. You did.
Anyway, play on.
and I think the fact that now Nathan is out, now they're going to have to, O'Sullivan will be halfback, and it looks like maybe Jamin Salmon will be the 5'8" going forward. Who's played a lot of 5'8" in his days at Parramatta, and I don't think he's played much 5'8" at Penrith, but knows the systems. But you've got two attacking brilliant players in Luai and Cleary who won't be there for 5 weeks at least. That's Nathan. I'm not sure about Jerome. He could be back earlier. He could be back later. But all I know is that when you go into finals footy, you want to go with momentum. And, you know, Penrith have got Melbourne Storm. They've got Canberra this week in Canberra. They've got Melbourne Storm the following week at home. So there's two games. If the Cowboys win...
It's a tough run home, MG, because then they have the Bunnies and then the Warriors and then the Cowboys.
Four out of the five are really tough. Where's the Warriors at?
Warriors is at Penrith.
You got to give them that, I think. The other four games up in the air, honestly, up in the air without the two halves. But I think they'll get the job done. I think they'll still be minor premiers.
Well, they're three games clear of the Cowboys at the moment, and with a game to go. I mean, wouldn't that be a fantastic way to finish the season? Cowboys-Panthers for the minor premiership.
In Townsville.
It just marked that one on your dance card. And I'm just looking, having a quick look at the for and against. Differential, it's not insurmountable from the Cowboys. So currently the Panthers have got an 86-point better differential, but if the results, you know, if the Cowboys keep winning and the Panthers keep losing, we could be looking at an absolute barn burner in that final game of the season.
Can you believe we're talking about the final game of the season already?
Oh, it's exciting.
Like,
I love it.
How quick has this season gone? Goodness.
So you've told me the halves combo. Quickly, I just did want to, there have been some suggestions of silver linings for the Panthers here with Cleary not injured but getting a break at this time of the season. Do you see those silver linings?
Oh, of course you have to. Yeah, you've got to. They're right in front of you. You know, if he was out with an injury, you'd be worried about it. You'd say he'd be coming back with a medial or an ACL or a shoulder injury or something that he might be carrying into a finals match. But he'll be 100% fit. He'll be seething. He'll be keen to get back on the field and do his best for the team. So that's the silver lining for him. As far as Jerome goes, well, it's a medial, grade 3 medial tear. So they're often between 4 and 6 weeks. He'll heal pretty well, I would imagine. So the silver lining is that Nathan can't get injured between now and the first semi-final is the way the Penrith fans will be looking at it.
Just quickly, I do want to share a bit of audio with you. This is Aaron Woods on the Monday scrum, him basically outlining the good guy defence that should have been available to Nathan Cleary.
Freddie and Billy Slater come out and they were like, oh, you know, he's a good bloke and we don't want to be missing these good players before semi-finals, and that's bullcrap, if you ask me. I reckon that's rubbish. You know, he had a prior charge already on Billy Walters early on in the year. So he would have got 4 weeks, but he had that. That's an extra week. And if you watch the tackle, I remember Freddie come out and said that, oh, you know, Liam Martin helped it a bit. No, he didn't. He pulled off the tackle, and you see Cleary re-grip and get a hand in between the leg. Just because he comes out on Instagram and says, oh, you know, I'm sorry, you know, it was totally out of character. But that's what happens in a rugby league field. Things can go one way or the other. And but remember he got in trouble for the TikTok? People forget about that as well. If Jared Hargraves does the spear tackle, we'd give him life nearly in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Woodsy's getting like very good at this whole radio business.
I like this version of Woodsy, who's not in contention for Origin anymore. You know, giving it to Freddie, giving it to Cleary's. But that's his opinion. I tend to agree with it. I agree with the fact that you can't, just because it's Nathan Cleary, say, well, look, he's going to learn his lesson in 2 weeks. That's unfair. That's, you know, and Billy Slater has said it. Gus Gould has said it. They said that, you know, why should we give him 5 weeks when, you know, he knows he's done the wrong thing? Well, I'm sorry, but it's horses for courses, and every player is an NRL player. Not, you know, you can't be given special treatment just because of, you know, your status in the game. And I think Nathan would be aware of that. You know, the reason he went to Instagram straight after it and said sorry to the members and the public was because, you know, he stuffed up.
Stuffed up.
I sent him a message. I said, look, you know, keep your head up. He said it was an accident. Yeah. Come back bigger and stronger. And, you know,
you sent him that message personally?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, because I saw how much he was hurting. You know, it was totally out of character. And Woodsy mentions Jared Weir Hargraves then. And, well, it'd be like mentioning me and Brandy in the same sentences. You can't do it. Yeah. You know, sometimes your reputation does precede you and you do get caught, like you do get penalised, but not in this manner. That was looking at the tackle, that was a send-off every day of the week. And the fact that he had loading, it was a four-week penalty. One plus the loading gets 5. No, I think everyone can agree that was the right amount of time.
Nathan wrote back, new phone, who dis?
I love doing that when I
actually
that
record, when one I, person when who was
when
who
someone texts me out of the blue I don't really want to talk to. Sorry, man, I dropped my phone in the pool. Who's this? But it's winter. What are you doing in the pool? Oh, that's right. Shit. The bath. I mean,
one person who I think would have wholly agreed with the suspension was Carl Lawton, because if you remember at the beginning of the season, he the exact same tackle, dropped Cam Murray on his head, got 4 weeks, which is what he's looked Nathan a little Cleary would have got.
He looked a little bit worse, I would say, because he was on his own when he did that, Carl Lawton. The fact that Liam Martin was involved for a half of that tackle led Cleary to believe that someone had the top part of it. But you can't put your arm between – the bottom line is you can't put your arm between someone's legs and hope that it doesn't go bad, because 9 times out of 10 it's going to.
Let's stay with the judiciary. Patrick Carrigan, the hip drop. It's left Jackson Hastings with a broken leg. That's the outcome. But whether you punish the outcome or the action, either way, Pat Carrigan is set for a hefty stint on the sideline.
Yeah, look, I suppose we've got to, we've really got to punish the outcome, because I think if there's a couple of things that have happened this year, high tackles and stuff, and you can't tell me that if that guy didn't break his jaw in that tackle, the bloke doing the perpetrator wouldn't have got a lot longer than the 2 or 3 weeks he got for the high tackle. So I think you've got to really bring into account the outcome. It's the first time someone's broken their leg from a hip drop. If that's not the message we want to send to the NRL players, that's nowhere near acceptable. Well, I don't know what is. You know, Patrick Carrigan, unfortunately, is going to be made the scapegoat, or not the scapegoat, but the crash test dummy in this situation, because
he's going to be the precedent.
I think they've got to. I just hate looking at that. That's not in the spirit of rugby league. With them tackles. So blame the wrestling coach. Blame the defensive coach who you know, you do that over and over and over and over again at training, because sometimes in the heat of the battle, when you're buggered and you're going in for a tackle, you do the wrong thing. Like, it's like everything when you're tired. Everything's a lot harder when you're tired. So these tackles have a lot more fear factor about them when players are tired. And unfortunately for both parties, you know, straight away Carrigan was remorseful, like Cleary was as well. But that would have been cold comfort if Dylan Brown had broken his neck or on the other. You could imagine what would have happened to Nathan Cleary if Dylan Brown had broken a bone in his neck. I mean, he wouldn't have got 5 weeks. He would have got 25
and,
weeks.
And no one would be talking about whether the punishment was harsh or not.
Well, that's what I mean. You've got to really, because what happens? Okay, just a little quick insight into why these things do go wrong. When these normal tackles do go wrong, it's overexertion. It means that player has tried a little bit harder to do something that he wouldn't ordinarily do, because he probably does 30 of them again. Then type of tackles Patrick Carrigan, but this time he got his body in the wrong spot with Hastings, and subsequently got a broken leg out of a broken fibula, which is very, very painful. I expect tonight. I think it's very similar to Cleary. I think it's the same level as Cleary, to be honest. I still can't believe that Aaron Booth didn't find himself in a lot of trouble because of that cannonball
on the target.
That to me is just as bad. That's not a brave tackle when you see blokes' legs just standing there and you come in from behind and you drive your shoulder into the back of their legs. It's just a knee injury waiting to happen.
Gordy on the Sunday sin bin called for it to be 2 weeks. I think Gordy might have been a little bit of Bronco Mayo on that one, a little bit of allegiance.
I think Gordy's thinking along the same lines as Billy Slater is with Cleary, and that this guy doesn't need 5 weeks on the sideline to know he did the wrong thing, because he's a clean skin. That doesn't matter. Coming from a player who was ending but a clean skin, I know that I was targeted for sometimes the wrong reasons. That was because of who I was. These guys, Nathan Cleary and Pat Carrigan, two of the most upstanding blokes in our game, you would say, they've both done something wrong on the weekend. They've got to be penalised for it.
Punishments aren't handed out because of how long it takes a player to learn their lesson. Most players, Nathan Cleary learned his lesson within 2 seconds. He knew before he got sent off the field that he'd done the wrong thing and he'd made a mistake. The time on the sidelines is not about how long it takes a player to learn his lesson. Getting back to your point, MG, about these tackling techniques, it becomes now beholden on the coaches to coach these techniques out of their players. We know that the rules get created and then the coaches spend all their time trying to circumnavigate the rules and find loopholes in the laws of the game to benefit their side. That's how wrestling came into the sport in the first place.
Yep.
And now you are seeing, not so much in the Nathan Cleary, because that one's been outlawed for a while, but the hip drop, coaches should be saying, boys, don't even bother. I understand what it gives us, but it's not worth Paddy Carrigan sitting on the sideline for what is likely the remainder of the Broncos' regular season. And when you look at the dogfight that they're in on the ladder where they sit in that logjam, and they face three other teams in that logjam on the run home. They take on the Roosters this Thursday night, and they've got the Storm and the Eels in that final five-runner game. So the Broncos could see themselves in free fall. I mean, they've got some depth. Kobe Hetherington will be a great soldier
in. He is their best forward. I mean, since he's coming back from that injury, that's exactly when the exact same time the Broncos' fortunes went north. And you look at him in Origin. You got the players, the player of the Origin. I mean, the kid's a gun. The kid is a gun. I love watching him play. And I admit it was out of character. You don't see him doing anything illegal on the footy field. He was tired. Fatigue was set in, and he'd done the wrong technique. He shouldn't have went for that technique when he was fatigued.
Eels. They did make my bold prediction look very strong with the win over the Panthers, and they just a little rise in momentum, and then Mitchell Moses cops an injury.
Yeah, a shocking finger injury that requires surgery. It looks like he's up to 4 weeks out. They're in peril without him. I tell you now, he's got the most try assists in the NRL by a long way, and they're going to miss his football badly. Like a lot of people don't realise how good of a player he is, Mitchell Moses. I mean, look, he's a really good first grade player, bordering on a rep player. He's got so many good halfbacks in front of him, unfortunately for him in an era. But he's a good goal kicker. He's a good runner of the footy. He barks in defence. He can tackle as well. I would go as far as to say that they're going to struggle to make the top four without him.
You can't see them pushing in?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be Penrith, Cowboys, Sharks in Melbourne.
Sharks, yeah. The thing about Mitchell, I mean, Mitchell Moses, the report's already there that Benji's trying to find a way to get him back to the West Tigers. So, you know, Benji, one of the, you know, probably with a better eye for talent than most, particularly in the halves setting, and he wants him back at the West Tigers. So their run home for Eels fans, they take on Manly this Friday night. Then they have the Bunnies, another team in the fight.
Wow.
Bulldogs, who no one wants to play right now. This is the classic Bulldogs season spoiler run at the end of the year we've become so familiar with. The Broncos, who will be up for a scrap at Suncorp Stadium in round 24. And then they finish the season against the Storm. So it's a tricky, tricky run home for the Parramatta Eels. But having said that...
So if I was them, I know young Jake Arthur's the player in waiting, but I think this is too intense to throw him into the Wolves.
Let's go move the magnets for Brad Arthur.
I would put Brown at halfback, and I'd put Gutherson 5'8". And I'd find a fullback out of one of the wingers.
Find a fullback.
Yeah, Bailey Simonson, maybe.
Why?
Because I think it's such an important position on the field. I think Gutho, being a bloke who gets like his hands on the ball, I think Dylan Brown at halfback would excel. I think him running the show would make him involved in the game more. And I think the fact that Mitchell Moses has his hands on the ball so much, you've got to find someone who's like-minded, and I think that's Dylan Brown. As for 5'8", well, you need a person or a player in there who has, got good ball hands, good ball skills. Gutherson's got that. I just think they've got to be very wary of what they do with it, because it's 5 weeks. This next 5 weeks is so important to the Eels. They could navigate it if they do the right thing. I'd definitely have the young Jake Arthur off the bench and bring him on, when needed. But at the moment, I think it's too big a ask. It's too much pressure to put upon the young kid after what he's been subjected to, which is not real good from some of the fans, so-called fans of Parramatta Eels and stuff. That I just think it'd be too much to ask of the kid. I know eventually he's going to have the ability and the nous to do what he wants to do as far as a first grader. He's going to be a first grade rugby league player. There's no doubt about that. But the circumstances at the moment, I would be very reluctant to throw him to the Wolves just yet.
Well, I mean, the West Tigers are loaning players out. Why don't they just see if they can grab Luke Brooks for the back half of the year?
Late. August 1's gone, baby.
Oh, it's gone, has it? Missed it by a day. Missed it by a day. Sorry, just quickly, that doesn't sit right with me, the David Nofaluma loan.
No.
I don't feel like that's what it was set up to do.
No,
the Harry Grant, Paul Momorowski loan,
It was for COVID. You know, when COVID related, it went from June 30 to August 1 to accommodate teams who were losing players left, right, and centre due to COVID last year when the competition was all in Queensland. So that to bring players, from other clubs basically into their roster. It's been abused by letting it's the opposite of the old Robin Hood, the rich getting richer, the poor get the picture, basically, because no one. The only compensation they get is they've got a little bit of, maybe 50 to 100 grand on the salary cap. But
what are they going to do with that?
Yeah, exactly. They can buy a ball boy.
But this gets back to the same thing about the hip drop, is that the game sets the rules. The clubs try and find a way around the rules. And
always.
The Melbourne Storm have done it. In fact, they've probably been the best at it over the years. Occasionally, they've strayed into breaking the rules, if we look back at the certain set of double books from back in the year. But look, the point is they push the boundaries, and that's probably why they're one of the most successful teams in the competition, the most successful team in the competition, one of the most successful sides in the country.
We won't see it. It's back to June 30 next year, so we won't be talking about this.
Righto, coaching coaching merry-go-round we're going to hop on. It's quieting down a little bit, which has been kind of nice. But Cam Serrato, the whispers are that he will be announced as the Bulldogs' full-time coach potentially as early as this week.
Yeah, big coup. Major coup for the Doggies. More so the fact that now I don't think Matt Burton will be as restless. And I think now Billy Kickow will definitely be heading there. If there was any doubt in his mind, well, now it's been resolved because his assistant coach at Penrith and a bloke they all get along with will be coaching there. I think Reid Marnie will breathe a sigh of relief as well. Not saying that Mick Potter isn't doing the job. I mean, whatever Mick Potter's doing, it's been fantastic. They've won four of their last six, and they're doing it with a brand of footy that's just really contagious to watch. It's just, you just love watching them play because every time you see, start of the year, you've seen a Bulldogs game, you go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to watch this today. Have I got 2 hours up my sleeve that I really want to do this? But now they're a must watch. Now they're a must watch. On the weekend against the Knights, they should have won by a lot more. They should have, the Knights in that second half, they were putrid. They had so much ball in the Bulldogs' quarter line, and they just couldn't do much about it. And the Bulldogs just kind of took their foot off the pedal when they got out to a bit of a lead. But, yeah, look, I think that something's brewing in Bulldog land, and I like it. I really do. I like the fact that they're going to be competitive for the next few years with a good cast of players and a young coach who you know everybody wanted. So when you get your man, you got him, and now they've got him and you've got Kickow, you've got, you know, with Burton and this young Carraz, he's going to be anything. Young Flanagan's got his confidence up and playing really, really well. So, yeah, the Doggies are just a good team to watch at the moment, and it's good to see that teams get out of their funk.
Couple of quick more ones on the Dogs before we move on to tipping this round. Do you think that Serrato has watched the performances under Mick Potter and that had an influence on his decision to agree to the deal when it gets announced?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Do you think they need... What's the other piece? We know they're getting Kickow and Marnie, two great acquisitions. Is there another piece that they should be hunting actively? If Cam Serrato says, yes, Gus, I'm in, go get me this guy.
I think their forward stocks are pretty good. You know, the fact that they've got, you know, Tevita Pengai Jr., they've got Josh Jackson, you know what you get. Paul Vaughan, I think he might be going to the English Super League. Well, that's a big loss because he's been going great for them. Also the tide turn when Roman Fatula-Mariner come back as well. Remember him a year or two ago when he was at peak of his form. He was really, really strong and robust. And since he's come back, he's added another dimension in attack. I don't know if Avarillo is the long-term fullback choice. I think they may be probably just some forward depth, some back rowers.
Just some depth at the forward. You don't have to give me exact players.
You don't really need. I don't think that they need as much as people think. Now that they're going well as well, I think that the fact that they're playing so well, young Marshall at dummy half has been really good. He's a good buy for Redcliffe. But the Reid Marnie's coming, so that's fantastic for them. Yeah. You've got Flanagan and Burton in the halves, which are long-term. Fullback is maybe a question mark. Avarillo seems to be getting, you know, better with each game, but
would Marty Tapau be worth an explore? If they're losing Paul Vaughan? I don't know what he costs, and there's always a cost factor. I think he's coming to the end of his deal at Manly. It's worth about 800K a year. Obviously, the Bulldogs wouldn't want to throw him that as a 32-year-old, but...
No. But he's a good $650,000 a year player who gives you know what you're going to get with him as well. Like he's always going to give you 100% effort, and he's a bit of an X factor as far as the forwards go as well.
All right. Let's move on from the quickly. Dogs, what are they capable of next? What's a realistic, without getting carried away and being silly about, oh, they can win the comp, a realistic expectation for Dogs fans next year under Serrato, first year in charge?
Realistically, they've gone up to 12th position on the table as it stands, on 14 points. They're not that far behind the Dragons and Manly, who are both on 20. So I say realistically, top eight.
Okay, they can fight for a spot in the eight. That'll do. I think that'll do, Bulldogs fans. Let's get into tipping this week, MG. Remember to jump in whenever you feel like it with your bold prediction. Thursday night, Roosters taking on the Broncos. Great game. No Patrick Carrigan. The Roosters starting to show some signs of life. They're favourites, red-hot favourites at this one at the SCG.
Yeah, the Roosters have that feel about them, don't they? I know a couple of weeks ago I kind of said that I think the Raiders are going to be that team that finish in eighth. But the way this is panning out, I'm not sure. who knows whether they both might finish in the top eight because they've both got momentum on their side. They've both won three in a row. The Raiders and the Roosters. I'm leaning towards the Roosters in this game. I think if it was played at Suncorp, it might be different because they got flogged there last week against the Tigers. I think they'd be filthy on that outcome. I might have leant towards the Broncos, but the fact that this is at the SCG, I think the Roosters will win comfortably.
I'm just doing some quick maths in my head. Oh, I think it's going to be squeaky bum time at Suncorp Stadium. I really do. I've been bullish on the Raiders, and I look at the Broncos' run home, and as I said, three of the last five are against top eight teams in the Roosters, Storm, and the Eels. They've got the Dragons and the Knights, and if you give them those two, oh, it's going to be a touch and go thing. I think it's going to be.
Maybe next week we'll do our definitive top eight.
We'll play it out.
3 weeks out, we'll play it out, who they've got to play against, and we'll give our listeners our top eight, definitely.
Storm taking on Titans. Pray for the Titans.
Storm in an avalanche.
I think they might go past the total they put on the Warriors in this game. I really do. That's my bold prediction. I know it's against my Titans, but I at Amy Park on a Friday night, the Titans just want this season over.
They do. And they've lost nine in a row or something?
No, I've lost count.
They're just playing like a team who, you know, they look like the Warriors earlier in the year when Warriors wanted to go home. They just kind of were just turning up. The Titans are doing the same thing. They're just turning up to the games. You know, Tino's looking frustrated. They're doing things on the footy field that they wouldn't ordinarily do. I think the Storm will win by a lot.
Second Friday night game, interesting one. Four Pines Park, the scene of the crime, Manly taking on Parramatta. No teams named as yet at time of recording, but we assume at least seven changes for Manly.
Yes, you would. I'll tell you what.
The return of the reluctant seven.
And look, you got to win footy games, but that was last week that they had to win footy games as well against the Roosters. And I think with that seven players who are out, I think they might have gotten the Roosters because the Roosters were there to be gotten, and they almost gotten by a very depleted team. Look, man, I think Manly will win this game because everything just kind of points to that type of result. You know, Parramatta haven't put two back-to-back wins or back-to-back performances together like they did last week in a long, long time. And Manly, after last week's shocking week from hell that they had regarding the Pride jersey, I think they'll be out to atone, and I think they'll be out to atone in a big way. There was a talk that maybe Tommy Turbo could be back for this game, but we'll see tomorrow. We'll see this afternoon when the teams are out, but I expect him back in a week or two. What's the word, Charlie, on Tommy Turbo? When's he supposed to be back by?
Well, there was talk he might be back for finals, but, you know, Manly always sort of mess around with this sort of stuff, so you don't really get the full story until the team comes out.
Thoughts of producer Charlie, they don't apply to MG and I about Manly playing funny games. I reckon you'll know within the first 5 minutes, MG, whether Manly are united if these seven players are back into this side and they've come together and gotten over this, or whether there's still some friction within the play, or there is any friction within the playing group. I think it'll be fairly evident early on. Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it'll be Manly. It could be Manly by a lot, actually. I think Manly could put on a score. Rabbitohs, Warriors, well, this one's...
No Mitchell Moses as well.
That's the thing. And we wait to see what BA decides to do in the halves. I'd be interested to see. We know he listens to the podcast, so if he rolls out with Brownie at seven and Clint Gutherson at six, you can credit MG's Rugby League Rundown. Rabbitohs, Warriors, this one's on the sunny coast, a sort of return to their second home for the Warriors. I imagine the Rabbitohs, with Latrell having practiced his field goals, should triumph.
Rabbitohs, you know, I played my joker in my gym footy tipping competition this week because I'm zoned in, and I think I'm going to pick the card this weekend.
Well, Saturday night,
Penrith
Raiders Panthers is my other bold prediction. I think you lose back to back games, MG. I think you lose back to back games.
Their sternest challenge of the year, and we'll get a good gauge on exactly where Penrith are at the moment because the Raiders are coming. The Raiders are coming. They're looking good. They've got a momentum on their side, and Jack Whiten is starting to run the footy, which is. For his opponents, it's dangerous for them because when he runs the footy, geez, he's good. And that try he set up on the weekend for Tomoko was enormous. Penrith by 4-6.
Okay. Saturday night, Sharks, the red hot Sharks, the rampaging Sharks, who Craig Fitzgibbon, in any other year, probably Dally M Coach of the Year. Todd Payton will beat him to it this year, though. But what a great first year in charge for that man. They take on the Dragons, PointsBet Stadium.
Yeah, no Will Kennedy, no Dale Finucane, but no worries because Nico is there. And Nico, we trust.
Aquaman.
I think the Dragons basically last week against the Cowboys, if they were going to make finals footy, they were going to try and beat the Cowboys on their home deck, but 34 points to wait, they got flogged. And I think it won't be a flogging against the Sharkies, but I think they'll get beaten. I'm going the Sharks.
The ever-entertaining Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs against the Cowboys in Bundaberg. Great to see footy going to the bush.
Yeah, look, if this was going to be my upset of the round if they played it at Homebush, because I think them big open spaces really suit the players like the Fox and Karaz, and they're a fast team, the Doggies, and Matt Burton seems to excel there as well. But Bundaberg's almost like a Cowboys home game up there. I think the Cowboys will continue their run, and it was good to see Ruben Cotter back last week for the Cowboys, back to back to his normal rampaging performances. So yeah, the Cowboys for mine.
You say that, MG. I go back to round 8 when the Eels took on the Cowboys in Darwin.
Yeah,
similar sort of ground. Cowboys prevailed, although it was wet. I think it was it was monsoonal, wasn't it, up in Darwin for that game?
It's funny you say that, because the week later, Parramatta beat Penrith for the first time this year, and the week before last, the Broncos spanked Parramatta, and then they come out and beat Penrith. So seems to be every second week they get up for these games, which that's why they don't go deep into the semi-final footy, because you've got to win 4 in a row to win the grand final.
So are you tipping an upset with the Bulldogs, or are you going with the Cows?
No, I'm going Cows.
Sticking with the Cows. All right, and final game of the round, the West Tigers taking on the Knights. Oh, Adam O'Brien. I mean, I said pray for the Titans, pray for Adam O'Brien.
I'm going to say that if the Knights, my bold prediction is if the Knights get flogged by the Tigers, well, I think the Tigers are going to win, but if they get flogged, I think you'll see the last of Adam O'Brien, unfortunately.
Well, we won't jump on the merry-go-round just yet, but if that does happen, MG, we will be having another visit to that little Ferris wheel ride next week as we try to figure out who could be in charge of the Newcastle Knights in 2023.
I'm hearing Shane Flanagan.
Flano.
I'm hearing his name.
Up the M1, Uncle Shane. Okay. All right, there it is. That's MG's Rugby League rundown for another week. We are closing in on the finals. Always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next week.
Adios.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.